What's going on, Zaina here for another trial run of life stories with random people that I meet on social media. My co-host Harris will not be joining us today, but hopefully starting next week, I will have my dear friend back and we will be doing this together. And again, low tech, low quality. Obviously, look at the pixels here. And hopefully I can edit out some of the static, even though I have a relatively decent microphone. But the plus side is when you only have like four people watching at the beginning, if that, you have room to make mistakes and kind of perfect them as you go. So that's what I hope to do. I'm going to go ahead and pause this while I wait for my guest here, Brian, I think, to join us and kind of talk about his life story a little bit. All right, so I have Brian here, an individual that I met on Twitter. And Brian, my name is Zay, Isaiah. I am going to be honest, that's a pen name. And the reason for that is because I'm starting something new shortly after losing my job. And there's a whole bunch of complications that go into that. So I have to kind of be a little bit careful because I signed all kinds of agreements about everything under the sun. And so I don't know what I'm going to say, even though it shouldn't be anything controversial that would get me in trouble. It's just the way of the world. But the reason that I wanted to talk to you today is because me and a very good friend of mine, who unfortunately is not here today, had an idea when it came to this whole politics thing, man. Obviously,
Okay.
it's no surprise to anybody that things are pretty tumultuous right now. 2020 has been one hell of a year. And I enjoy talking to people of all backgrounds. I'm a Yankee by nature. I don't know where you're from. I'm from New York, Connecticut area, grew up in Connecticut. Yankees are known for being really passionate, really loud, really kind of argumentative, I guess you could say. But at the end of the day, and I'm from an Italian household too, so at the end of the day, like, we're still cool. You know what I'm saying? But that's not the case these days. People talk about politics
Yeah, absolutely.
and then they seem to hate each other. I have seen people that have dear friends. Harris is one of them. You'll get to hopefully talk to Harris. Harris lost all of her friends after expressing certain views that didn't comport with their far left views and couldn't understand why they couldn't still be friends after that. Like, where's the love? You know what I mean? Like, we disagree on like A, B, C, and D, but like, what about the rest of the alphabet? So, long story short is Harris's
Yeah.
idea was, let's start just hearing people's stories. Basically, how you got to where you are, what changed, and what helped shape your belief system, whatever that is, about how you see the state of our society and where you see it going. And what we need to do. So largely, I was going to leave it to you to just kind of talk about that and interrupt only if there's something that really interests me, if that's cool with you.
Yep, sounds good. Just let me know when you're ready for me to start.
Go for it, man. It's all you.
Okay. So I would say I wasn't into politics at all. Like in high school, we had I graduated high school class of 2010. I would say I wasn't really into it at all, man. Like I had no idea what left men or right men or liberal, whatever. Just didn't pay attention to it like most kids. You're just paying attention to other stuff like sport and who you're gonna take to prom, that kind of silly crap. I would say being from a black family, we are 90, 95 to 99% of us are taught that you are a Democrat. It is no questions asked. That's how you vote. That's how you think. No, Democrats are always right. Republicans are always racist. They suck. They don't want people to have health care. They want to kill people. All kind of crap, man. I voted for. I don't think I was old enough in 2008. I wasn't 18, when President Obama was in office. Mm-hmm. 2012, I did cast my vote for him. 2016 is when I had my breaking point. So obviously, that's when you know that you had the choice between Trump or Clinton, right? And due to family pressure, I voted Clinton. And the reason why I think that was a bad choice is because I got more in tune with my faith since I was Christian, and I try to keep my religious beliefs out of it, but I don't really think that it's right that the key issue to me was the abortion issue. So that's where I try to start, right? So I think no matter if you're Republican or Democrat, I think we can all agree that, you know, 9 months of abortion is just a little too far. Like you shouldn't be able to do it at that far along. You know, we can debate, you know, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever the case may be. But when I started seeing laws passed in like New York, for instance, your hometown is like, you know, a woman can walk in 9 months, no questions asked, get an abortion, and people don't think that that's happening. And I was like, okay, at the very least, you know, we're all adults here, you know, we should be able to come to some sort of an agreement to say, okay, like, you can't do it that late, yeah. You know, but like, I live here in Southern Illinois. I'm actually, like, most people think you live in Chicago, but when you say you're from Illinois, but no, I actually live 5 or 10 minutes away from St. Louis. So
okay,
it's real closer to St. Louis. You said?
It said it's far Southern Illinois. It's right on the border.
Yep. Yep. Right at the border. So and the reason why I bring that up is because their laws are a lot similar. It's a blue state. So everything's based off Chicago and that's how they make the laws from there. So when I cast my vote in 2016, I remember getting this, my heart started beating faster and I started feeling like anxious, you know, and I remember bubbling it in for Clinton. And I remember thinking to myself, I said, Brian, like, what did you just do, man? Like, you just cast your vote for something that you don't even believe in. You know what I mean? And I told myself back then, of course you're in the voting facility, so I'm not speaking this, but in my mind, what I was thinking the whole time was, I'm never gonna have this feeling again, you know? And so that's what started it for me. So just to give you a little bit of a background as far as how I got to be pro-life. Mm-hmm. So the nature of my circumstances, my father was married to my mother, who my mom, who raised me. She raised me as her own, but she's technically not my biological mother. My biological mother unfortunately passed away 2 years ago, back in August 18. And my dad had an affair, obviously, with my mother, right? Mm-hmm. Back when we were in the military, my dad's a military veteran. So we were stationed in Arizona. So that's how I'm born in Arizona. And, I remember she battled like substance abuse and different things of that nature. So she spent some time in prison for that. And I'm just so grateful to her and so thankful to her that she didn't choose to end my life, because we live in a world that tells a woman that, hey, that's okay. You know, you're pregnant with a married man's kid, just get an abortion. Yeah. You know, and I think my being here, having this interview with you, proves that I'm not a clump of cells. Like, I was a living, breathing human being. You know, I wasn't fully developed, of course, but you know, I it's different stages of development, right? Like we're adults. At one point we were toddlers. At one point we're 8 months in our mother's womb. So that issue in itself, even if she would have given me up for adoption, I have sisters and brothers who are still living in Arizona, getting in contact with them much more. So I would have been the case. I don't think she would have gave me up for adoption because she didn't do that for the other kids. So I'm just really grateful to her because I'm here doing this interview with you, and it's life has had some ups and downs, and I'm alive. So, I'm just really grateful. That's the number one issue I would say I vote on. After that, I started getting into, there's this stereotype behind Black men and guns, unfortunately. But I've never had an issue, a tremendous issue. I would say I've been stopped by the police before, of course, but I would say I've never had an issue, a major issue with the police or anything. So I started getting into guns and the Second Amendment and, okay, what was it for? What was the purpose of it? Just politics in general. And I found out that the Democratic side is pretty far left when it comes to guns. They're pretty anti-gun. And I know that by being in the blue, like Illinois. So, those are the two key issues I would say I focus on. And I would always say when people ask me, like, what do I think about Trump's presidency? I say, whether you like the guy or not, one thing that I always appreciate Donald Trump for is the fact that people pay attention to politics now.
Yes, they do.
If Hillary Clinton would have got in, it's just my own personal opinion, but I think it would have been business as usual. And I don't think anyone would have paid attention to it. I don't think we would have delved into this deep dive into, you know, fake news, as people call it nowadays. And
there certainly wouldn't be collusion scandal, I can tell you that much, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I remember when President Obama was in office, I was like, you know, my dad and my grandfather, you know, they were rejoiced because it's just different, you know, because they come from a different world. My dad was born in what, 67. So that's 3 years after the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah.
So, and obviously my grandfather before that. So it's like they come from a different world. So to them, just seeing the brown face is enough for them. Like, man, that's a big deal, you know? And I get that. But for me, it's like, I don't know what it's like to not have to go to school with white people. I've never seen a whites only water fountain. So I come from a different world,
right?
You know,
and we're lucky, for that, you know, we're very, you're lucky for that, but I consider myself lucky too, because most of my peer group is not Caucasian like I am. And these are people I love. And I can't imagine living in a society where that was not okay. And just as a quick, like, little, not to interrupt you, but like, here's what I feel. Here's what I see happening. I see us going backwards in a weird way to resegregation, but people doing it to themselves, if that makes any sense, with a lot of these movements, creating division within friendships, within, there was a post on Twitter by a professor. This was a while ago, and I wish I could remember the details. Surely I could find it. But he was talking about his interracial marriage. And he said, you know, my wife is Black, I'm white. When we had these two beautiful kids, we kind of figured we had transcended something. And now with all this new stuff out there, he's like, there's this wedge between our marriage where every little thing that happens, she's telling them, you know, to be afraid of white people. And he's like, I'm white and I'm her husband and I'm the father. And so I guess their marriage is still going strong. They're working it out, but that's scary stuff to me, that the narrative just works its way right into relationships and communities and things that people are trying to build and decades of work. You know what I'm saying? Like decades of growth. And I feel like the brakes have been hit and people think we're going in the right direction still. But I feel like, and I could be totally wrong, but I feel like we're going backwards instead of forwards in a weird way. Maybe that doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
Honestly, man, I 100% agree with you. It's a scary time to be in America right now, and just anywhere. I mean, because it's like you say one thing, or you say Blue Lives Matter or Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. I've seen white people get fired from their jobs for saying All Lives Matter, and I'm like, dude. Like I was on Instagram, and are you familiar with the protest that people participated in on social media with the Blackout Tuesday?
No, tell me about that. When did that happen?
So it was a movement right after I want to say the George Floyd incident happened. So white people, black people alike, like whoever wanted to participate, it was supposed to be a movement of solidarity. So you would just post a black square, on your Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and you would hashtag it. What is it? Blackout Tuesday or Black Lives Matter, whatever the case may be. I actually didn't do it. I was tagged in it though, because it's like what you said. Like I try not to participate in anything where I feel like it would rob me of trying to bridge gaps, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
So with the Blackout Tuesday thing, like just like I told you about the white guy that got fired for saying All Lives Matter, it's like, man, it's a crazy time to be a white guy right now, because it's like you can't say anything without being called a racist. And it's volatile, and I feel like we're going backwards. This guy I know, he tagged me in a post. He's black, and he's in the military. He tagged me in a post. It said it was Blackout Tuesday, and he tagged like me and 70 other people. And it said hashtag All Lives Matter, and then he posted, you know, brown skin fist, you know, and different, like a white fist, and I think he was just trying to portray that, hey, we're all in this together, like who cares, you know, about the color of your skin, you know. But my point being is like, why do I get the history of our nation and slavery and all that, but it's like, why in 2020 do I not get crap for saying All Lives Matter? I mean, I get crap for it, but not like a white guy. Like, I'm probably not going to be fired, you know, from my job. I mean, I'm currently unemployed because
I got laid off too last week, man. So don't worry about it. No judgment here.
But yeah, I was just wondering, I was like, well, why is it that we as black people get away with it? And white people, they just get fired automatically. Oh, you're racist, you're far right, you're white supremacist. And like, what it does is that it robs the person of their identity, and it causes you to hate people. And I really feel like it's division being sown into black people, white people, everybody, man, because it's, they want people fighting. Because the only way that you can control people, like truly control them, you have to control them through division. You have to control them through some sort of emotional take, because who is going to disagree with the statement Black Lives Matter? Because if you disagree with that, you say, oh, so you don't like black people. It's like, nah, it's like, that it was very strategic how they planned
divide and conquer.
But
they divide and conquer.
Absolutely. But it's like, man, I don't the reason why I don't say anything when a white person tells me like they don't see color, because I truly don't see color. Like, yeah, I can see that you look different than I do. But when I say I don't see color, what I'm essentially saying is like, I don't look at you and say, hey, I need to treat this person differently because they look differently to me.
Exactly.
Like, no, you're just a person. Until I see how I like to look at it is that I see good versus evil. Until you present yourself as evil, I'm going to assume you're good.
Right. But what you just said hit the nail on the head. Have you ever heard of Dennis Prager at all?
I have that app, PragerU.
Yeah. So he gave one of his fireside chats recently, and just one line stuck out for me. Just one line. And he said this. He said, I divide people into two categories only, the decent and the indecent. The rest does not matter. The immutable characteristics, such as skin color, for example, and so many others, does not matter. Decent and indecent. Those are the two types of people. And apparently that's just too simple and beautiful of a concept for people to wrap their mind around. It's not emotional enough. It's not triggering enough. And something else just real quick that you said that got me, and I posted on Twitter this morning, it was a reaction to someone's comment about how Democrats have been too nice for too long and need to start getting mean. And I just responded, and I'm paraphrasing here. I'd have to go back and look, and I'm not going to do that right this second, but I was like, too nice. Neither side can claim that they're nice. And these people have a vested interest in us fighting and like pitting us against each other. Trust me on this. While we're distracted arguing over this and that, you know what I'm saying? Like, heaven knows what's going on up top. Now, I'm not saying that your everyday congressman, I don't know where the narrative is coming from. A lot of people cite George Soros and all kinds. And yes, he puts a lot of money into things, but that's not the only place. I don't know the reasons behind it, but I know that we were moving in one direction and now they're trying to get us to move in another. You know what I'm saying? And I agree with you. I call it divide and conquer. Something is behind that. And maybe it's a complete remake of our society. I don't know, but I feel like we can't let that happen. And with that, I do want to ask, what does your family think of your beliefs on a lot of this stuff, of kind of all of it?
Well, I can tell you, last November, coming up a year now, a buddy of mine was getting married, and I had by far the best time ever of my life, man. We went on a cruise to the Bahamas.
That sounds awesome.
Sailed out of Florida, and we were in the Bahamas for about 5 days. It was amazing, man. But there was a young woman there who I found myself attracted to, and I feel like, you know, we hit it off pretty good. And, you know, obviously she's from California. I'm here in Illinois. And I feel like we don't talk anymore at all, you know, because I feel like she saw some, we're Facebook friends. So I feel like when she's on my profile, she might, I don't post. As far as family and friends go, I don't post my true viewpoints, if that makes sense, because particularly on Facebook, because I want to kind of keep that one for the family and friends. But Instagram, if people watch my story, or Twitter, like I'm pretty active, as you well know.
Yep.
Like I'll voice my opinion. I found myself looking at her Facebook, and I'm just like, man, it's just like, she's one of those like never Trumpers, like Trump derangement syndrome to the max. And I'm like, whether you like the guy or not, can we at least agree that he's done some things right? Maybe not all, you know, that's where I want to get people to. But as far as family and friends, I would say that most of them probably don't know.
Gotcha.
My brother knows. My brother, I guess maybe about a month ago, we were all hanging out at a friend's house, and you know, it was late at night, and we get to talking politics, of course, because you have to talk politics at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why. But no, he was like, he's like, yeah, I think Brian is he's like, I think Brian is a Republican. And I heard that because I wasn't next to him or anything. I was about a few feet away, but I heard it out of my ear, and I was just like, I was waiting on who he was talking. He was talking to a female friend of ours, and she was like, for real? And she was surprised, obviously, because she's Black, but she was like, for real? And like surprised, like she couldn't believe it, you know? My brother asked me, he's like, hey, Brian, are you Republican? I was like, I'm not really Republican, but I think that I'm probably going to cast my vote. Not probably, I will be casting my vote for Donald Trump in November. Because I'm all about what I think is best for America.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I regardless if you like the guy or not, I just think that he's the one piece that, obviously, with my Christian faith, I believe that God is in control of everything. I try not to bring that into politics or anything, but that's what gives me peace, man, to know that, like, I don't see this world as my home and my final resting place. You know, it's I remember I was visiting my family in Florida, and people, right, I want to say I went there in July, right? So, you know, of course the news, the news is pumping the virus up and stuff like that. They're like, yeah, this thing is crazy. You know, you're going to die if you go outside. And my grandmother, she's like, hey, you going to Florida? I heard you know, the COVID cases are on the rise down there. I was like, yeah, I know. I'm still going.
Still going.
You know, and because how I look at it is like, dude, I believe that God gave me an amazing immune system to where I could beat almost anything. You know, I mean, people beating cancer, I think I can beat the coronavirus. Like, no offense to the coronavirus, but cancer.
And this could easily get me censored, but I'm at the point where I don't care, because I'm just going to say this, and I'm sure you've heard it. You know, there have been too many cases already of misidentifying this COVID thing, of reimbursement rates being jacked up to $13,000 to identify something as COVID. Let me give you two examples. Of the job that I was just laid off from, I supervised 18 staff. In the last 6 months, two of those staff had deaths in their family, predictable deaths. Okay. In other words, one of them had metastatic breast cancer, and one of them had pancreatic cancer. They were both in hospice care.
Okay.
After the deaths of the brother and this young man's mother, the hospice classified it as COVID, and they were outraged. They were like, not only was this not COVID, but we've seen this coming for years. That's why they're in hospice care. You know, the young man, staff of mine, was like, my mom had hormonally driven metastatic breast cancer. What's the matter with you people? And if that's going on just like that, it's going on everywhere. So no one's saying it's not a real thing, but like, are they pumping it up to manipulate fear and this and for whatever other millions of reasons, I don't know. Yeah, good chance. And then, you know, 17 days out from the election, they're like, oh, cases are on the rise. And maybe they are, maybe they're not. I'm one person. I don't know. I just find it very curious. I really, really do. I think that just in general, like, people in power, and I think this is one thing where a lot of my even conservative friends disagree with me. I think that Trump has really tried to be a hedge against this. People in power manipulating, using the instruments of like media and everything like that to manipulate the populace, as he calls it, the deep state. And I think that given his position, he's done the best he can to like fight back against that. But there's only so much he can do. I think that he knows there's a tightrope he has to walk before they're, you know what I'm saying? Because there's only so much they're going to let him say, you know?
Right. Yep. That you bring up a good point, because it's like, I started paying attention to the guy. And honestly, man, I love that dude, man. I really do. And I'm hoping that he just stays safe, man, because if you talk about like conspiracy and all that stuff, like, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. got so powerful to the point where they were like, somebody just said, okay, enough. We've had enough. Yep. You got to take this guy out.
Yep.
You know, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, one of my all-time favorite presidents, actually my all-time two, Abe Lincoln and JFK. Yep. JFK was riding in a car and then a freaking bullet just hit him out of nowhere. Oh, so you expect me to believe that random guy just went to freaking.
Well, and then was it the same year that Dr. King got shot that Bobby Kennedy also got shot? Was that the same year? Was it? I think it was months apart or a year apart. But either way, that says a lot right there. And so, you know, I look at it and I'm like, wherever that came from, I think that they may be like, all right, we're done with that method. We're going to use this social media method to bury people instead. You know,
it's crazy because it's like. Like, if you think about it, like, Dr. King, I want to say King was first, and then it was JFK. But I know that it was like, boom, he hit, I forget the order, but I know they both died in the 60s.
Yes.
And, man, it's like, it's crazy to think about stuff like that, but it's like, it makes you wonder what's truly going on. And that's what I like about Trump. Now people pay attention, whether you right or left. Now everybody pays attention. Mm-hmm. Oh, like with this freaking coronavirus stuff, is like, I don't trust. I'd rather trust Trump than trust somebody like a Bill Gates, a true freaking
absolutely
globalist that has been freaking pushing eugenics on the continent of Africa for so long. So.
Bill Gates gave us Microsoft Office, and I'll tell you what, I love OneNote, but he is not a good guy. He is not a good guy, man. Not even close. I mean, some of the statements that he's made, like the Freudian slips, what was it? He was on a mainstream morning show, and he said something about like, you know, and then hopefully we can get the whole world vaccinated and reduce the population. Look it up. I forget it. But like it just slid out of his mouth so seamlessly. And the anchor was like, and then they moved on really, really quick, as if it was just like, oops, I didn't mean to say that. And you know what? Maybe he didn't, or maybe that's what's on his mind, because people like him genuinely think that because they have all the money and the power, that they're in a position to make choices for us. And choice, like we're little children. And to bring it full
circle,
I think that that's what the far left is trying to do now. They want a nanny state. They are belittling to all of us, but especially the Black population. And you know, a lot of my Black friends, most of them reject not Black Lives Matter, but the organization Black Lives Matter, not the concept Black Lives, of course, not the organization. But some of them are all in. And when I talk to them, I'm just like, I respect you. I respect you as a man or a woman with agency in your life. These people don't. They're telling you can't do it without them. You know what I'm saying? They're telling you that you can't do it without their handouts, that you can't do it because you've been held back, that you're not powerful. I'm saying to you, you know, the conservative side looks at you and says, you're powerful. You're unstoppable. Right. And also, and then I'll close my mouth because it's supposed to be about you, but like the Republican Party started with African Americans.
Absolutely.
That's where it started. And it's so convenient that people are like, really, it did?
Yeah, but if you argue with somebody who's on the left, they'll say, man, they'll say like, oh, but the party switched. And I'm like, okay, prove it. That's been debunked. It was like, it was literally like two senators, you know, that switched over parties, but it wasn't a mass exodus where we just like, oh, okay, we're all just gonna go. All the racist Democrats who started the KKK and Jim Crow and segregation, that's a convenient truth that they like to leave out too. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't switch to become Republican. No, those people died off, got out of office, and then they just replaced them. The reason I don't like Joe Biden, I mean, besides the fact that I think he's a freaking pedophile,
he's a creepy guy.
He just said some things that you know, people talk about the Trump versus Biden, right? Or the quotes. So a question was posed to me. He was like, what's more offensive to you? Trump saying, grab him by the you know what. And Joe Biden saying, if you don't vote for me, then you ain't black. Or he said, if you had to think about who you're voting for, me or Trump, then you ain't black. And I said, honestly, I'm more offended by Biden's statements because that takes my identity away from me. It really, that's like saying, it's just like when you started it with the interracial marriage, the couple you were telling me about, that's taking my identity away from me. Cause it's like, okay, if I do choose to marry a white woman, oh, okay, I'm not black now. Like, you know, if I do choose to like guns, I'm not black now. If I do choose to live in this neighborhood, drive this car, get that job, now all of a sudden I'm not black. That's basically what he was saying.
Well, and that's what
I took tremendous offense to that.
I'm glad to hear that because it was offensive. You know what I'm saying? And I don't understand how the host didn't take offense to that. The host just moved right past it as a black man. And I was just like, can we not hit the pause button and you just hear what this presidential candidate just said to you, which was virulently racist, virulently racist. His true colors come out, but people are willing to move past that because they're so convinced that Trump is the devil. Let me, you know, and maybe tell me what you think about this. I mean, everyone's like, oh, he's a dictator. He's a Gestapo. If that was true, none of these people would be able to be speaking the way they're speaking, burning down cities the way they're burning down cities. Trump acted constitutionally during all these riots. He said no. He sent in federal troops for one thing, to protect federal property, which he has a constitutional right to do. He did not run roughshod over the states and say, I'm sending in the military. He talked about it a little bit, but he just said, when they ask for help, and they never did. I want people to flash back to the Obama years, and people seem to forget the Obama put down the riots in Ferguson. People don't remember that. He let it go on for a little while, and then he deputized the state police, and he put it down. He put it down. He overstepped his bounds. And whether you think that's right or wrong, my point is that Trump acted within the law. He did what he could. You know what I'm saying? On that matter, you worry about Joe Biden. I worry more about Kamala Harris. What do you think about her? Because I think she's really going to be president. That's what I think. Ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point you bring up. There's rumors that, you know, Biden is really just a face with decline. Like you can visibly see the guy is not all the way there. Like he did great at the debate. But that was basically just Trump screaming and him just saying, shut up, man, you know, so he didn't really have to do much. And I didn't get much from him. I think that I would say that, yes, that would be the end goal. Maybe they know, you know, politics is a dirty game. It just is what it is, especially on that side. Right.
Yeah.
So maybe they know that his cognitive decline is like really declining and they're expecting him to pass away in office. And she'll be the face and then they'll have to, you know, get in another vice president, which might be freaking Bernie Sanders or somebody.
Or AOC.
So yeah, I do believe that, agree with you, like that it does scare me. Kamala Harris, I wasn't too familiar with her, but then I looked at her history on locking up black men in California for minor drug offenses. Mm-hmm. There was this one guy who he stood out. I forgot his name. I think it's like Justin Loveless or something, but basically he's from California, and she basically worked with the police department to frame him for a murder that he didn't commit. And he spent like 10 years in prison and got released and then got awarded a bunch of money, rightfully so, multi-million, for false imprisonment, because you basically just shattered his life and you took years away from this man. And I was just like, dude, like, how, why is she paraded around? Like, we didn't, but it just goes to show you, like, when people say Black Lives Matter, when the left says Black Lives Matter, really they're not saying Black Lives Matter. What they're really saying is, like, Black Lives Matter in two occasions. Black Lives Matter when white cop shoots a Black guy or a Black woman, and Black opinions don't matter unless you're left or progressive, right?
Progressive, yeah.
But if you're Black and you're conservative, no, though, no, they don't, because that doesn't fit their narrative. Yeah. And I always tell people, like whether you disagree, I mean, it's no question at this point, the majority of the media leans left. It just is what it is. Even with some like Fox, I find myself not watching too much news. I can't, like, unless it's watching the weather, like I legit watch maybe 30 minutes of news, like a traditional news sourcing, a month, maybe. That's literally to watch the weather. That's it.
It's probably good for your mental health.
I like to, what I like to do when I was visiting my cousin in Florida, I asked him if he liked Steven Crowder, you know, because Steven Crowder, he's a big with the Change My Mind and stuff like that. And he's like, no, a lot of his information has been debunked. I don't like him. He's a racist and this and that. And I was like, I don't get that vibe from him at all.
Not
what
at
I
all.
Love about Steven Crowder is that he presents you with information. He'll give you maybe some biased data if that's how you look at it. But what I like about it is that you're presenting me with the data so right. that I can analyze it and I can make my own opinion about it, whether I agree with Steven Crowder or not.
Right.
That's how, like when you brought up the thing about the COVID, the inflation, how they get paid more money mm-hmm. if they classify a death as COVID. Mm-hmm. I found that out, you know, with Crowder, you know, months ago, you know, because it's like right as the George Floyd stuff happened, I think he did a Change My Mind segment. I think it's called the COVID deaths are inflated or something. And he posted a link to it. And I read the data in that article. And I was just like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
They're getting more money to classify someone as COVID versus non-COVID. And like the fact that, you know, obviously we know about the George Floyd incident with the knee on the back of the neck, completely wrong.
Of course. And everybody agreed.
But I always tell
you, you know,
exactly. Crazy, man. But yeah, like Crowder was talking about, he's like, hey, if that incident had happened 2 weeks earlier, they technically could have classified that as a COVID death. And that was mind boggling to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I would agree, you know, the fact that all this stuff is going on, man, it's crazy. It really is. And I really wish people would be more, just sit down and talk, you know, even if we disagree.
Absolutely.
You know, cause that's, at the end of the day, all we have is each other, man. Like, it's the people. It's the people versus everybody else. Like, that's how I always look at it. Government works for you. You shouldn't be look at it as like, you know, us, you know, Democrat versus Republican. You
so
should
funny
look
you
at
said
it
that
as people versus.
That now I'm remembering. That's what I put in the. That's one of the things I put in the tweet. That these people are supposed to be serving us. Yeah. So in the tweet I was talking about earlier. Brian, it's a perfect segue.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, man, and in the 12 minutes we have before Zoom probably cuts me off because I scheduled it for an hour. Where do you see things going, man? Do you have are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic about the future? Regardless of who wins, but I guess we could play the worst case scenario if you want to. I'll leave that up to you. Where do you see things going?
So. There's a scripture, and I'm a paraphrase. I haven't read my Bible in so long. I'm doing bad with it, man. I know God is mad at me, but there's a scripture in the book of John, I believe, and he talks, and Jesus, like, Jesus is worried about going out and preaching masses, right? And he said, I must work the work that God has given me while it is day. The time will come when it is night and no work will be done. He said, as long as there is light in this world, then there's good left in this world. So that's, I'm always going to be an optimist. I put my faith in God, and I try to believe in that. And I try to believe that God has Trump in there for a reason. And I really do think that he is the one piece that is, even though he says some crazy crap, he's imperfect, you know. I truly do believe that he's in there for a reason, and he's in there because he's planned by God, but he wasn't planned by people on the far left. They did not want this. They wanted the Clinton machine. They wanted more control over people's lives. They wanted a socialist, communist state. I truly do believe that. But as long as I'm here, man, I believe there's good left in this world, and I try to be good. I try to be there for people that don't look like me and don't walk like me, don't talk like me, you know, and I'm going to continue to be there. I recently, what was that? Maybe Friday. Friday was my last official day of my job. I told you I got, so I've been furloughed since May, but it came upon, obviously this past week, and my job finally called me. It's like, hey, we're going to go ahead and fire you. But they didn't say fire, but let you go. You're getting fired. And they talked about all the details and all that stuff. So I had to go to my job and turn in my laptop and all that stuff. And it just how I looked at it was like, you know, I've been furloughed since May anyway. I was like, dude, it's one of those things where I kind of figured it was coming. But no, there was a gun range. There was a gun range that I go to quite frequently. And it's like, literally not even barely 5 minutes from my old job. And I stopped there on a Friday morning, and I remember looking at the side of the building, you know, and it says MAGA on the side of the building. I was like, man, I never really noticed that. And I wonder if some of the Black people noticed that, because I see Black people in there all the time. But this particular Friday morning, I walked in there, and I mean, I'm the only Black guy. Like, it's a group full of white guys, and I know they all got guns because it's a gun range. Like, okay, that would make most people feel uncomfortable. And I got a few looks, like maybe they don't really want me being in here. But at the end of the day, like, they didn't say too much to me. They didn't. I actually walked over to a white gentleman, and while we were both inside the range, and I was asking him for a few pointers and stuff, and he helped me out, you know. So, and then there was a guy that works at the front counter that I see quite frequently. And I had a nice conversation with him, and he's an ex-cop, you know. They say Black man and cop can't get along, but it's like, dude, I've never got a racist vibe from him whatsoever. Like, a white retired former police officer is giving me pointers on how to operate a firearm properly. Yeah. You know, I don't think that all white cops are trying to kill Black people, kill Black men, like the media states. Right. But no, I had a great time at the range, and that's what I'm hopeful for. I'm hopeful that more situations will happen like that, where people choose to befriend people that don't walk like them, aren't the same age as them, don't have the same skin color, maybe don't even have the same religious or political belief. But life is filled with so many examples, man, of examples of times in your life where if you just try to be, you be the change, you try and be the change, because it starts with you. Donald Trump's not going to fix this. Like, yeah, they can do some things, but we have to fix this as a people, and we have to come together, and we have to figure out what the heck is going on in this country. But it's going to start with people being good. It's you're not going to get there by people hating. You're not going to get there by going backwards and saying, you know, the big thing on college campuses is black only spaces. What the heck is that?
That's what I was talking about earlier with the, like, we're going in a different direction, just in a different way. We're like resegregating, but people are doing it voluntarily. And I do not understand, but, you know, I think a lot
of. Yeah, like the freaking, I had a buddy of mine graduate, and I'm so proud of him, man. I'm not going to say his name. He might be watching this interview, and I'm not even going to say what school he went to, because then he would know who it is. And I don't know where this interview is going to go. Hopefully you put it up on YouTube, and hopefully you get big. We'll figure it out. But he graduated from a very prestigious school. And I remember looking at his post on Instagram. He said, attended black graduation. And I was just thinking, like, what the heck is a black graduation? Why, like, bro, you earned this. You're at a freaking Ivy League school.
Wow.
With a bunch of people that don't look like you, and you performed just as well as they did. You earned it. This wasn't no affirmative action, dude. You've been working your butt off since high school. Right. From the moment I first met you, you've been working your butt off academically. So why rob yourself? Why rob yourself? And to me, that's robbing myself.
I
don't want a black graduation. I want to go to graduation. I went to the same classes. I went to the same class as y'all did. I paid the tuition. I bought the books. No, I'm going to graduation.
You want to stand amongst your peers and collect that degree as you deserve.
Right.
You know,
absolutely. Like,
it makes total sense. Do you know, as we wrap up here, do you know who Jordan Peterson is?
Yes, yes. I find myself reading, I read his book, 12 Rules for Life, and I read that thing. I reread those chapters like all the time, man.
I still need to, but one, I'll have to do that now that you bring it up, and you seem to really like it. One line that he gave, I don't remember during what interview, it was before he kind of disappeared for 2 years, but he said, associating, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm pretty close to right here, I think. The words were, associating yourself with people who only think like you do is like walking around in a desert. The scenery is all the same. In other words, like, you're not enriching your life at all. If you are on the far left and you automatically refuse to hear any point of view, or on the right, or wherever, and you refuse to hear any other point of view, you're walking around in a desert, you know? So on that note, before it cuts us off, man, I want to thank you, Brian. I really appreciate the time talking to you. Hopefully we can do this again. I'm going to spend some time trying to edit anything that needs to be edited. This is a new format that I'm trying, and I'm really glad that we linked up, and I wish you a great Sunday, and hopefully we can talk again soon as we approach the election and everything.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for the interview. It's nice to talk to someone. This was amazing, man, and I hope this is the start of something special for you. I'm actually going to be trying to start my own podcast here soon.
Well, then let's do it away and help each other out, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. You know, it's something that my buddies, like, I even got the mic. I've been sitting with the microphone since like freaking March, but just trying to find the motivation to get into it, man. And that's why I'm glad that you messaged me. It was like, you know, hey, let's do this, you know? So I was like, yeah, heck yeah, man. Let's do an interview. So I appreciate you, man. And not only for the interview, but hopefully a start of a great friendship, and hopefully be hearing from you soon.
Sounds good. All right, Brian, you take care of yourself.
You too, buddy.
All right.